Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 37. I want to speak tonight on the teach tonight on the subject, the science of Christian growth. The science of Christian growth. Isaiah chapter number 37, verse number 28. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up unto mine ear, into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And here's my text verse. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. I want you to notice those words, take root downward and bear fruit upward. Now I want you to listen as I read a few verses from Ecclesiastes, very familiar. To everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, I want you to notice that every one of these things has its opposite listed with it. A time to be born, its opposite, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. That's not the kind of dancing you think that is. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, that's after you get married. And a time to refrain from embracing, that's before you get married. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend or tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Father, teach us the Bible tonight. What a wonderful privilege it is just to study thy blessed book. Now tonight we're going to discuss something I think that's very, very vital, and I pray you'd help us to be attentive to thee and to the word spoken by the preacher. Amen. All right. I want you to get a pen or a pencil. That's an unusual thing to say. And you're not going to take notes. You're just going to do a little doodling here for a minute. Okay. I want you to just get a little piece of paper. I want you to just make one little doojigger here. Have you made it yet? Okay. I've never seen such a big deal in my life. I mean, to get a piece of paper and a pen is really a big job. Now, here's what I want you to do. Look at me, and before you write, here's what I want you to do. Look at me. Don't write it yet now. I want you to draw something like this that gets a little bigger every time you go around. You follow me? Just like that. And until you've drawn, half a dozen circles there, just gets a little bigger every time it goes around. Isn't that fun? Does something to you, doesn't it? Y'all are crazy. You're idiots. That's what you are. You got it drawn? Look, I don't mean draw a whole dozen of them. Just draw one. Just take a second. Something looks like this. Gets a little bigger and a little bigger. Sort of like a spring like thing. A little bigger, like that. Now put your pen up. Look at that little jigger. That'll keep you occupied while I'm teaching. As you look at it for about 15 seconds, if it stays white, you're okay. If it turns red, you go to a psychiatrist tomorrow morning. But I want you to, I'll call your attention to it in a few minutes. Now look at me. The science of the Christian growth. Everything in life is a cycle. That's why I had you draw that. Everything in life, these cycles in life, our growth must be in the entire cycle and not in just one of them. For example, let me use the body as an example. Your fingers don't grow first, and then they get normal size. And then now you're 6 months old and you got fingers or size 9 glove. Now that your fingers are grown, you grow your feet. And then by the time you're a year old, you wear a size 12 shoe. Or if you're a man, some smaller than that. Nobody's home tonight. The elevator's stuck between floors, I can tell it. But, and then after that, then you grow one ear, and it becomes the normal size. Then you grow another ear. Now that's the way Christians try to grow. Look at me. But you don't grow that way. Everything grows together. There's no way that you can just grow your hands. There's no food you can eat that'll just go to your hands. Or no food you can eat just go to your feet. Or just go to your, well, some of you have grown very long tongues, but there's You grow proportionately. Don't forget that now. It's very deep. Now, the sad thing is, in the Christian life, we grow like I just mentioned. We want to grow in Bible study. Now, after we grow in Bible study, we'll get soul winning in several years. But the truth is, you won't grow in Bible study by itself any more than you can grow a hand by itself. The entire body grows together, if you please. Look at me now, look at me. Look at me now, everybody right this way. Your entire body grows together. And the Christian life is exactly that way also. You cannot grow in prayer only. These people, for example, that say, I'm just, God's given me a ministry of prayer. Your prayers will not get beyond the ceiling because you can't grow just in your prayer life. You've got to grow in the entire spectrum. Now, let me, Brother Moffitt, you box some, don't you? Okay, stand up here, would you please? Jim Vineyard told me he could whoop you with one hand tied behind him. You think he can?
Well, he can come out and try it.
He told me he wouldn't have to try very hard. Okay, I want you to play like there's somebody there in front of you, and you're going to box right now. All right, now, I said play like there's somebody in front of you. Okay, now, I want you to play this. He drew back like this to hit. Now, he didn't come like this. Or like Brother Colston does. our art teacher does that way. But you see, okay, you say that. Brother Bob, did you used to pitch softball? You caught, okay. Did you pitch softball? Baseball, okay, get up and throw me a pitch. Notice that? He came back before he came forward. Now you got to get the leverage. You don't get the ball, do it like that. You got to get the ball, and you got to draw back and throw it like that. Same thing is true with a discus throw. You're going to throw a discus, you have to get that leverage. And then you do like that, and then you get dizzy. But the idea is to get the leverage. If you don't go back, you don't go forward. If you don't go back, you don't go forward. In softball, for example, most softball pitchers pitch with the windmill, and you've got to go back before you can go forward. Now, look at that little thing you just drew there, that little work of art. Brother Harold used to teach art at our high school. That's the sorriest excuse I've ever seen for a do jigger in my life. Now, look at that little doojigger and look right in the middle there. Now, I want you to know, as this thing grows, it grows all the way around. It makes the entire circle before it grows some more. And the entire circle before it grows some more. Now, the Christian life is that way. Look at me now. The Christian life is that way. If you have true Christian growth, you make the entire circle. And then a larger circle. And then a larger circle. But you're not going to grow in the Christian life except you grow in the entire Christian life. Now, I mean this. I mean, if you decide you're just going to pray, you won't be as good a prayer and have as good a prayer life as you would if you decide to be everything else too. All of life is that way. Everything in life is a cycle. Everything must have its opposite. You get your car stuck in the snow. What do? You put it in reverse, and it goes back. And then you gun it, and it goes forward. And you put it in reverse, and it goes back. Now, if you don't go this way, it won't go this way. Now, the same thing is true in our lives. You've got to grow. You've got to grow in a cycle with the leverage. For example, here's your prayer life up here. Now you're going to have to read your Bible some, and you're going to have to go soul winning some, and you're going to have to study some, and then you're going to have to pray some, then read your Bible some, and go soul winning some, and then pray some, and read your Bible some, and go soul winning some, and pray some, which means you cannot become a better Bible student unless you pray too. Because God will not open the Bible to you unless you pray. You will not become a better soul winner unless you read the Bible too. Because God will not allow you to get people saved in bigger numbers if you neglect His book. That's why the whole Christian life, you don't grow over here like this, and then come back and grow up here like this, then come back and grow here like this, then come back and grow here. No. You grow in your prayer and your Bible study and your soul winning and your devotional life, and then your prayer and your Bible study and devotional life, and then your prayer and Bible study and devotional life. And by the way, that's not only true in the Christian life. It is true in every other area of your life. Let me take a few of those tonight. For example, let's take the matter of fellowship with God. Hear me carefully. You cannot take just one area of fellowship with God and grow in that one area. Now, there are several things that areas of fellowship with God. One is prayer. Now, prayer is asking God for something. If you say, "Dear God, thank you for the day, and dear God, I love you, and I think you're wonderful, and oh, God, thank you for your blessing," that's not praying. That is thanksgiving, but not praying. The Bible says, with prayer and thanksgiving. Daniel said, "I prayed and made my confession to God." Now, if you say, "Dear God, forgive my sins. I know I've sinned." That's not praying. That's confessing. If you say, "Well, praise the Lord, I love you," that's not praying. That's praise. Now, you can't grow in just one of those. Your prayer, your praise, hear me carefully now, your praise is not true praise unless it grows in that cycle. Prayer, praise, confession, thanksgiving. Prayer, praise, confession, thanksgiving. Prayer, praise, confession, thanksgiving. Prayer, praise, confession, and thanksgiving. Now, the honest truth is, you know, this is a hard Bible study for me because I get on kicks. I can lose weight better not eating anything. I can't eat just one Reese peanut butter cup. I can't eat just one. So I got to eat none or some. Because everybody does that, don't they? I got to eat none or a lot. And I'm the kind of guy that if I get wrapped up in studying the Bible, I just want to spend all my time studying the Bible. Except God will not open the Bible to me unless I do the other two. I cannot grow in my Bible study. And the same thing is true about this matter. If I let myself, I could just praise God all the time. But no, I couldn't. No. because the Christian life is a fellowship with God is wrapped up in more than just praise. You've got to confess some. And so you start off here, and as one grows, they all grow. You can't grow in your praise unless you grow in your prayer. You can't grow in your prayer unless you grow in your confession. You can't grow in your confession unless you grow in your thanksgiving. So the entire Christian life is wrapped up in everything growing. It's not just like that. It's everything growing. And the circle gets bigger and bigger. And as you grow in praise, you grow in prayer. And as you grow in praise and prayer, you grow in confession. And as you grow in praise and prayer and confession, you grow in thanksgiving. Or it is an unnatural kind of a growth, and it's synthetic. The praise that you have is synthetic. Listen to me carefully. If you don't pray, your praise is just making a bunch of noise because you have nothing to praise God for. But if you pray and ask God for something and confess your sins and God forgives you and God answers your prayer, then you say, well, glory, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I got that thing I asked God for and my sins are forgiven. What? Prayer, confession, thanksgiving, praise. Prayer, confession, thanksgiving, and praise. Now, let's take it in the matter of the church. People sometimes, a lady asked me not long ago, she came and heard me on a Sunday morning, she came back on Sunday night, and she wondered which was the real Jack Hiles. She came by my office, and she said, with the real Jack Hiles, please stand up. You seem so nice this morning, she said. What happened to you between this morning and tonight? Did your wife get mad at you? Yeah, but that's last night too. I mean, it didn't matter about that. But she said, which one is you? Both. You see, you come to First Baptist Church on Wednesday night, you'll get the Bible. You go to First Baptist Church on Sunday, and you'll get preaching. You come to First Baptist Church the first Sunday morning of every month, you'll get the Lord's Supper. I mean, some Sunday night, I maybe have this microphone right here, running across this pulpit up here, having a fit, jumping across, and all the nuts are hollering, amen, well, glory, and praise the Lord, and hallelujah. And you know what? The next Sunday morning, we may sit here, and everybody's as quiet as an Episcopalian funeral. You know why? Because in quietness shall be thy strength, the Bible says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, so what is it? you can't just grow in just preaching alone. You can't just grow in enthusiasm alone. You've got to have a quiet time. And you've got to have, in a church, you've got to have Bible study. And then you've got to grow in preaching. And then, listen to me now, I'm teaching to you now. You've got to grow in Bible study and then in preaching. And then in quiet time, meditation. And then in study. And then preaching. And then meditation. And then study. Do you know that the Lord's Supper is just as important in this church as the hooping and hollering on a sermon on heaven? I know churches. See, look. Every single thing has to have some time of release. You've got to. A pitcher throws back and he pitches. He's got to wind up again and pull back and pitch. He's got to wind up again and pull back and pitch. He's got to wind up again and pull back and pitch. And the church is that way. Every life is that way. You can't spend all your time just shouting. You've got to have some time to pull back. There's got to be a climax in this matter, a climactic time in every relationship where it builds to a pinnacle and then it goes back down. And you throw the ball and then you wind up again. And you throw them off, and you wind up again. And that's the way the Christian life is. Everything you do, you pray, and then you wind up with confession and thanksgiving and praise and pray again. And then wind up with confession and praise and thanksgiving and pray again. Or take any of those. Take praise. You wind up with confession and prayer and thanksgiving, and you praise again. And wind up with prayer and confession and thanksgiving and praise again. Or take confession.
You'll wind up with prayer and praise and thanksgiving and confess again. And wind up with praise and prayer and thanksgiving and confess again. You can't breathe out all the time. You've got to breathe in sometime. And in every area of life, there must be that time of winding up and then climaxing again and reaching the climax again. There must be a pinnacle. There must be the climactic hour. But that must be in between that must be times of opposite. A time to build and a time to tear down. A time to love and a time to hate. A time to gather stones and a time to cast stones. And a time to weep and a time to rejoice. And they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. We weep and we rejoice. And we weep and we rejoice. And the opposite, we rejoice and then we weep. We rejoice and then we weep. The whole Christian life is that way. But you see, the whole world is wacky except me. Everybody's got a specialist. I know preachers. All the world they do is teach on the home. That's all. That's all. Now, they don't wind up. It's home, 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 home. Sometimes they'll teach on prayer. Sometimes they'll teach on Bible study. Sometimes they'll teach on the Holy Spirit. And the whole thing is a cycle. Hey, the same thing is true about marriage. You young people that are just got married, you can't Gucci goo all the time. I mean, it ain't all boopsy whoopsy. In fact, it may not be any boopsy whoopsy after a while. But it's not, look, you're not, you can't, and some of you guys, you say to your girlfriend or to your young bride, what's wrong? What's wrong? Well, she's winding up. She's going to hit you again. I mean, sure, there's got to be that moment of intimacy. But then there has to be that cycle of mystique and fun and work and intimacy. And mystique and fun and work and intimacy. And mystique and fun and work and intimacy. If you grow in your marriage, it's going to be that kind of a growth. If a church grows, it'll be that kind of a growth. If you grow in your romance, a courtship, it'll be that. You can't spend all your time Gucci-gooing, and you can't spend all your time. Look, personality is that way. People come to First Baptist Church, and I'll have fun. I enjoy humor. But by the way, I also want to know when I come to a funeral service how to weep and conduct a comforting funeral service. And I also want to know how to conduct an impressive wedding. I mean, you can't just joke, 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 and you can't just cry, 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 cry. You got to wind up with humor, and then sobriety, and then tears, and then humor, and then sobriety, and then tears, and then humor. Everything in life is built on that cycle. If you build a marriage, if you build a courtship, if you build a church, if you build a life, if you build a Christian life, it all is wrapped up in that thing. You've got to get leverage and then do it and then come around again and then do it and come around again and then do it. I can tell you couples that would have gotten married If they hadn't wanted just that one thing, I love you all the time. I love you, I love you, I love you. You can't write notes all the time. You can't say I love you all the time. There must be some time where you enjoy each other as far as pleasure's concerned. And there must be some time you got to work sometime. And you got to cry sometime. And life is that way. Anytime you get the idea that you're going to listen to me now, that you're going to build your life around one emotion or one work or one activity, you're not going to be normal. You're not going to grow. But you have got, I mentioned that word mystique. Told him the other night. You have got to let, there's got to be some times. Okay. You're married. But, okay, you have intimacy.
And all of a sudden, she becomes your girlfriend again. Now, follow me carefully. She becomes your girlfriend again. And she becomes your steady again. And she becomes your fiance again. And she becomes your wife again. And then she becomes your girlfriend again. And she becomes your steady again. And she becomes your fiance again. And she becomes your wife again. Now, if you stop that cycle, you're going to stop your growth in your marriage. You're going to stop the joy and the fun and the excitement out of your marriage. At Howells Anderson College, did you know there has to be some Bible study too? And one of these days we're going to have some. You can't go to chapel and hoop and holler all the time. Somebody's got to take you to class and teach you some Bible. And somebody's got to go out in the woods and pray and hang on to God. And somebody has got to go soul winning. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, that little thing right there, that leverage of growth, is the secret to every area of your life. Take the matter of preaching. Look at me. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Oh, the deeper lifers, so-called, like to preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. But that's not all it says. It says rebuke. Preach the word, and then he says rebuke. And then he says exhort. Now, the pastor is not just supposed to preach the word. Now, the theologians won't like that. I don't like them either, so it doesn't matter. I'm saying there are times a pastor is supposed to rebuke. There are times a pastor is supposed to say, you guys in that boy out in the balcony, get up out behind that seat and sit up there and listen to me while I'm talking. Now, that's not preaching the word, but I'm supposed to do that too. So I preach the word and rebuke and exhort and preach the word and rebuke and exhort and preach the word and rebuke and exhort, but you don't preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. You've got to get leverage. And the opposite of a quality is the leverage for exerting and demonstrating that quality. You've got to go backwards before you can go forward. If you're going to jump, Bob, standing broad jump there. All right? Now, notice what he did? That's okay. He went down and then jump. Now, do it without going down. Yeah? You can't do it. You went down a little bit then. Thank you. Now, that's the way you're trying to grow in grace. Try it. Jump sometime without, jump up without going down. You can't do it. You can't. But that's your problem. That's the church is that way. You can't live on the froth all the time. You can't listen. I know preachers that they have these camp meetings. And all they do, they preach on heaven one time, and then preach on the millennium, and then preach on the rapture, and then preach on the second coming of Christ to the earth, and then preach on the New Jerusalem, and it's all let out, ha, 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 and everybody tries to out-preach the fellow before him, and they tries to lift the... You know, when I preach around the country, if I preach after somebody takes them to the heavens, I relax them. I have, if I preach behind somebody and all of a sudden they get carried away and have a wonderful service and we're lifted to the heavens, I don't get up there and say, I'll out-preach him. No, I don't do that. You've got to come back down again. And everything in life has got to be that way. Your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, a church spirit, a college, growth in grace, all of it is that little cycle there. Everything grows or nothing grows. You cannot grow, take Bible study, prayer, and soul winning. You can't grow in just one. If you grow in one, you'll grow in all three. And if you don't, you're an altar, you can try all you want to become a better Bible teacher. You'll have the same luck that Bob had a while ago when he tried to jump without going down. You can't do it. You have... Listen. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Down and up. A time to break down and a time to build up. Down and up. A time to break down and a time to build up. And a time to break down and a time to build up. And a time to sow and a time to reap. And a time to sow and a time to reap. And a time to weep and a time to laugh. And a time to weep and a time to laugh. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. And a time to gather to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, and a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. That's what life is all about. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And what he was saying, he's saying, touch all the bases. Be the well-rounded Christian, but you've got to be. You cannot grow in grace unless you grow in the entire cycle, because growth is not like that. Growth is like that. And you become a better everything if you become a better anything. Please forgive me for using this illustration. I know a preacher that used to be one of the best evangelists in America. He used to be one of the best Bible-teaching evangelists, so many evangelists, he had it all going for him. He got infatuated with Bible prophecy. And that's all he does. Nationwide telecast, Bible prophecy, trying to jump just like Bob did. He's not winding up. No burden for sinners. No preaching on prayer. No preaching on Bible study. No preaching on the Spirit fullness. Antichrist, 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 Antichrist. You've got to wind up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to grow all the way. And there's got to be the opposite to give leverage for any quality that you have. I'm trying to tell you, you can't shout your way to heaven. You can't cry your way to heaven. You can't read the Bible your way to heaven. You can't pray your way to heaven. You can't soul win your way to heaven. You can't praise your way to heaven. You can't thank God your way to heaven. You can't confess your way to heaven. You do it all as you grow. Now you preacher boys, hear me carefully. Some of you guys are going to go out of here and you're going to do one thing. Preach on women wearing pants. That'd be the first Sunday. Years ago, before I came here, I'm gonna tell you. Well, I grew up in a church that didn't have a church kitchen. And so when I started preaching, I didn't have a church kitchen. I had a preacher boy named Abe Simon. He took a little church, had one room. The first Sunday morning, he preached against the church kitchen. First Sunday morning. I said, one of our girls went down to Bob Jones University. She said she didn't like it down there. She said they wouldn't allow you to kiss anybody. I said, has it affected you? Have you had any offers? Well, no. Well, how does that rule affect you then? I'm saying some of you preacher boys are going to go, and all you're going to do, you're going to preach one Sunday on mixed women, and next Sunday on smoking, and the next Sunday on rock music, and the next Sunday on videos, and you're not... You've got to preach on comfort, study, scolding, comfort, study, scolding, comfort, study, scolding. Some of you folks out there, you like for me to get mad. If I grab this and turn it on, you have a spell. Now, I'm not being critical of you, but the truth, if you don't watch it, you'll get perverted. Sometimes you got to preach on it's time to comfort. You got to comfort your people. You got to challenge your people. Encourage and discourage. Lift up the fallen. There's more to it than just Lord, 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 Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There's more to it than that. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, comfort, teaching, strength, encouragement. Hallelujah, comfort. Teaching, strength, encouragement. Hallelujah. Comfort, teaching, strength, encouragement. Hallelujah. But what you're doing is what Bob was doing a while ago. You're trying to jump without going down, and you can't do it. Life is that way. You cannot be successful in life and miss the cycle. It's got to be the cycle over and over and over and over again. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord. Let me show what that means. They that wait upon the Lord. Now here's what that verse means. It means they that are waiters. May I take your order, please? Look at the menu. Here's the menu. Now that's exactly what that verse means. They that wait upon the Lord. It doesn't mean you go out in the woods somewhere and sit there and look at him and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. It doesn't mean at all. It means you go out in the woods somewhere and wait for the next orders. It means you wait. They that wait upon the Lord. Now take your order, please.
Hamburger.
How you want that? Like most of them, okay? All right? Now, now what I do? I got his order. Now I go to the kitchen and do what he said to do, and I bring him back what he ordered, but I cannot go and bring him back what he ordered till I wait upon him and get his order. And you have got to wait upon... Remember the story in the Old Testament when David and Absalom had their war? And David left the city and went out to Mahanaim and wouldn't fight against Absalom. And remember when he saw the war was over... He saw a servant coming out, and his name was Ahimeaz. And Ahimeaz was that messenger. Boy, he was a fast messenger, and he came, and he said, Your Majesty, I got here first. I'm the fastest one. Cushai is real slow, but I'm the fastest one.
What's the message? How goes the battle? What's the message?
Message? I got here first. I'm a Howells Anderson graduate. I got here first. I ran faster than anybody.
But what's the message? How's
my son? Message?
How's my son? What's that?
Huh?
You didn't bring the message.
I won the race. And the next Sunday they vote you out. But here's old Plodding Cushai. I'm a majorette. And I'm Cushai.
I went to battle.
I got the message. Now, I want to run as fast as Ahimeaz and have the message Cushai had. But the trouble is, most of us don't want to wait to get the message. He took off without the message. He wanted to throw without winding up. He wanted to jump. I wish I could do it. No way in the world you can do it. It's helpless, you know. That's where you want to do it. You want to breathe out, but not breathe in. You want to, glory, but you've got to draw back and meditate and be alone and fellowship with God and wait upon the Lord. Glory, and then you got to come back and fellowship and be still and know that I'm God. And there's a still, small voice. Glory. But here's what you want to do. Glory. You can't do it that way. You've got to wind up, you see. And that's the Christian life, and that's Christian growth. That means this. That means you've got to constantly in every area. Listen, this thing could change your marriage tonight. Some of you guys, all you want to do is smooch. And some of you gals, all you want to do is don't smooch. But I'm simply saying, look now, you can't live on the froth. Look, you eat a meal. You take a bite of the meat and a bite of the potatoes and a bite of the salad and a bite of the vegetable and a bite of the meat and a bite of the potatoes. And a bite of the Big Mac, and a bite of the quarter pounder with cheese, and a bite of the hot dog, You just can't live on Big Macs. You got to have quarter pounders every once in a while, too. Now, I know what somebody's saying. Well, Hiles, what's this thing about you teach about being the same all the time? You say you're supposed to be the same all the time. Yes, that's true. Same cycle all the time. Same cycle. I've got a preacher friend, preached a wedding. I'm sorry, a funeral. They're all alike. He preached a funeral. The guy was unsaved. The preacher preached on hell and told the story how the fellow had come to church, didn't get saved, and he died and went to hell. On the way to the cemetery, the family said, you won't be needed at the cemetery. You know why? Because the fellow had not grown in the whole cycle. He could preach on hell, but he couldn't be appropriate at the funeral service. Now, the whole secret to life is being predictable, but, hear me carefully, I'll be through. Being predictable by having the same response to the same stimulus. Not the same response to every stimulus, the same response to the same stimulus. And that means that Christian growth, it said, you've got to go down and then come up. You've got to plant and then harvest. Now, you can't harvest all the time. You just can't. You're going to have to plant sometime. It's got to go down. You have got to draw back. You have got to go down to jump. You have got to draw back to hit. And you have got to take that meditation and shout and quiet and loud and teaching and preaching and preach the word and exhorting and rebuking and preach the word and exhorting and rebuking. That's why when I preach, before I walk in the pulpit, I plan in every service to try, in every sermon, not Wednesday night, but every sermon on Sunday, I plan to try to reach every emotion that you have. I want you to laugh some while I'm preaching. I want you to cry some while I'm preaching. I want you to get mad some while I'm preaching. Somebody says, boy, you really got mad and preached this morning. No, you didn't preach. Just because you got mad. You ought to get mad some, but you've got to have compassion, and you've got to cry, and then rebuke, and then compassion, and weeping, and then rebuke. And that's the entire Christian life. If you ever grow to be a good Christian, you'll grow in every facet and not in just one, because you can't grow in just one. You grow in all, or you don't grow in any. Now, I want you to be well-rounded Christians. I'll go back to the illustration and I'll close again. 35 years ago, this next August, I became pastor of this church. Shortly after I came here, a lady wrote me a letter. And I'd been here about 6 months, and she said, Dear pastor, we were without a pastor here for almost a year. She said, I prayed for God to give us an evangelist. She said, I prayed for God to give us somebody with zeal and fire. Then she said, I said, no. Lord, give us a Bible teacher. Then I said, no. I'd change my mind again the next week and say, Lord, how about a really a fiery evangelistic type? And the next week I said, no, Lord, give us. And then she said, to think, we got both in one package. And that's what I want to be. I want to stand up here when your child gets married, and I want the most beautiful, tender, sweet wedding ever conducted to be conducted on this platform. I want to stand up here when I preach the funeral of your loved one, and I want the most comforting funeral ever preached to preach when I'm up here. When I preach on hell, I want to hang you over hell, and I want you to get your socks singed when I hang you over hell. When I preach on the love of God, I want this love of Christ to flood your soul. That's really what it's all about. You call that being appropriate. I'll close with this. When I came here 30-some-odd years ago, our church had a softball team. The last game we had won in the softball league of the churches, and the last game we won was in 1938, I understand. But our team was playing out here at Riverside Park. And they asked if I'd come out and I went out to watch our team play. Well, I wore a pair of slacks, and I wore a short sleeve dress shirt with a modest tie. And I got out there. They said, come out and play some catch. I took the tie off, and I had on a pair of slacks and a short sleeve dress shirt. And I went out, and I played some catch. And I pitched a little bit like that. And somebody said, there comes the pastor of the other church. He had on a black tie, a black suit, black socks, white shirt, black shoes. If he had a casket, he'd been all ready to go. He was coming to a ball game. Black, 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 black. And so somebody said, hey, won't you go out and play catch with Brother Hiles? I got the ball and I threw it to him like that, and he went. In his black suit, tie, socks, shoes. And his people went. You know why? He didn't know how to do this. All he knew how to do was try to jump without going down. One, speed. That's all he had. I want to grow a church of Christian people who can pray down God's power. And I want to grow a church of Christian people that love and know this book. And I want to grow a church of Christian people that know how to win souls and pray, get folks converted. And I want to grow a church of Christian people that can sympathize and have compassion. And I want to grow a church of Christian people that can holler, glory to God, praise the Lord at the appropriate time. You see, that's what you call growth in grace. That little doojigger that you made a while ago. You grow here and 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 here. And as you grow in prayer, you grow in Bible study. As you grow in Bible study, you grow in soul winning. As you grow in soul winning, you grow in prayer. And as you grow in prayer, you grow in Bible study. God, deliver me from these specialists. May God give us the kind of church where we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shall we stand, please?